Kyle, first and foremost, and most importantly, how are you and your wife and family doing during these times?
We're doing good. We feel like we're stuck in the same routine a little bit. You know, we wake up at around 7:30, then Ella Jo goes down for a nap, and then she wakes up, we eat lunch, and then we have a snack, and then she goes down for a nap, we wake up, we eat dinner. But it's good. We're all just a little stir crazy in here, but we're doing okay.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Well, here we are with these unprecedented times. In just a little over a week, you would have been at the U.S. Olympic wrestling trials down at Penn State competing for a spot on the U.S. Olympic team. And about 2 weeks ago, the trials were officially postponed. And just yesterday, the games in Tokyo were postponed. Can you give me a bit of a timeline of when you found out about the news and how you're feeling about it?
I found out about the postponement pretty much the same time everyone else did.
Yeah.
I had a little bit of a feeling it was going to be postponed, especially with everything that was going on. And, you know, Team USA had gone to the Pan Am qualifier,
right?
Olympic Games qualifier. And I had spoken to some people up there, and they seemed to think that trials was going to be postponed, simply because it was just, you know, as everyone else knows, it's just been getting worse and worse. It hasn't been getting better, really, especially in New York and California and things like that. So, you know, we had a little bit of expectation, and, you know, there was some hope that it would be Memorial Day weekend, and we'd still be able to make a push for the Olympics, and it would be on schedule. But then a few days ago, there was Team USA athletes meeting. We just hopped on a Zoom call, and there was over 300 athletes on this call. And, you know, we have our leaders who work with the USOPC and who indirectly work with the IOC. So they were kind of our voice, and they wanted to hear what we as athletes had to say. And during that call, you know, there was a lot of people who were, you know, really just torn, because if they have the Olympic Games, they're only a few short months away. So for us to completely back off our training and to, you know, do what was necessary or what is necessary in social distancing are two very different things. You know, we need to have our training partners close by. We need to be able to, you know, go to the facilities. We need all of those things. But right. when we have this global pandemic that we're worrying about, and, you know, every one of us has a role into making sure that we can contain this thing and clear it up as fast as possible. It just made for a lot of anxiety amongst the athletes. And, you know, not only that, that's for the athletes who, you know, felt like they could still, you know, qualify, you know, for wrestling. Most of our guys were already qualified, and we were working out a situation where guys who were supposed to go to the last chance would still have an opportunity. Well, in track and field and in swimming, they pretty much had no chance to qualify. Right. They lost a bunch of their competitions, and they weren't able to, I think it's called meet the standard, whatever the standard times are for your event or distance for your event. Many people weren't able to even try that, because you have to do it under competition. So there was a lot of issues with that as well. Another unique one that we heard was the sailing team. They needed 45 days before the Olympics to get their equipment shipped over there.
Wow.
So they, you know, the I don't know if it was open ocean or what it was, but it was just like everyone had a unique set of problems, and everyone had, you know, kind of a little bit of a story behind it and, you know, what was going on. So that was a very interesting call. And then as soon as we got off that call, that next morning, Canada announced that they were going to not go to the Olympics if it was held in 2020. And then Australia came out and talked about a postponement, the UK, and then finally the US put out its recommendation, and then the Olympics were officially postponed.
You know,
2 days ago.
Yeah, in some athletes, they did come out publicly and say, look, if the Olympics are happening, I want to compete. I would be willing to risk anything to compete just once in these Olympic Games for a chance at a medal and a chance at glory. I hate to put you on the spot with something like this, but is that something that you would have felt comfortable doing with everything that you've worked for to, you know, kind of risk it and go to the Olympics in Tokyo if they were to be held this summer?
You know, it's a really hard question. I'm glad I don't have to answer it because, you know, they postponed it.
Right.
You know, it's not about me, and it's not about the 11,000 athletes who are, you know, the most elite athletes in the world coming to one place to compete. You know, it's about when they go home. It's about if there was one person who happened to slip through the cracks, you know, whether it be an athlete or a coach or an administrator or anything, and got into the Olympic Village somehow and spread the disease or the virus everywhere amongst the athletes. Now we're dealing with something ridiculous.
Right.
And, you know, they can say they have all the safety standards and do all these things. And there are some countries that are doing very, very well. I think Japan is one of them who has, like, contained it very well. South Korea is doing a better job now. But, you know, it's hit people at different times. And it hit, you know, obviously it's hit us pretty hard. So we're just, it's really difficult to answer that question.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to put anybody else at risk. And that's a big thing for me is, like, don't assume you're healthy and someone else, you're going to catch it from someone else. Assume you're sick and assume you're asymptomatic and you don't want to get anybody else sick. And that's kind of why my wife and I have been quarantined, is because we're like, well, let's just assume we're asymptomatic. We don't want to get our parents sick. We don't want to get, you know, any of our loved ones any more at risk than we have to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if it was possible, which it is, my vote was to postpone the games until we have a much better grasp on this. Everyone will be on the same playing field again. You know, it's 1 year, so there will be some people who are old and who are, you know, are ready to retire that are going to have to either stick it out or call it quits. But that's just, you know, I think it was the best decision for the games and for everybody, because it really is a time of celebration. It's not a time to, you know, not allow fans to come. And, you know, I think it's going to be an even better event now, because it will be a celebration. You know, hopefully it doesn't take that long, but a celebration over, you know, this virus, and, you know, we finally have a very good handle on it, and, you know, our hospitals are cleared, and we, you know, we're able to take in these people and take care of them better than we first started out as.
We're chatting with Kyle Dake, Lansing native, four-time national champ at Cornell and two-time world champ. What is the toughest part of knowing that you're going to have to wait? Because let's face it, over the last 2 years, I'm sure you've trained so hard for this moment. You've had your ups and downs, and yet here you are, just a little over a week away from what would have been your chance to earn a spot on Team USA. I mean, you've probably built your life around qualifying for the games. What is the toughest part of having to wait things out?
At the end of the day, I'm ready. I was ready to go. I still feel ready to go. If I needed to go compete and go make an Olympic team, I feel like I could do that. The awesome thing about this is, since, you know, 2017, I've really been, you know, that was 2017 was my first time back from my shoulder surgery. And ever since then, I felt like I've been consistently getting better and healthier and stronger and faster. And I feel like I'm kind of pulling a Benjamin Button a little bit, and I'm getting younger. My body feels like it's younger than it did in college. And, you know, my mind is still sharp. So I feel like, you know, I'm just taking it all in, and I'm just getting better and better every time I step on the mat. you know, in practice, every time I go out for a run, every time I, you know, do some cross training, I feel like I'm getting better. So I think it's an advantage for me. You know, there's some people who age quickly in the sport and in all sports. And I feel like I'm different. I feel like I'm not aging at all. I feel like I'm getting younger.
That's incredible. So assuming things do go on track and there are a Summer Olympics in Tokyo in 2021, you will be gearing up for that then, correct?
Yeah, no, yeah. The goal remains the same. I want to be an Olympic champion.
Would you even, sorry to interrupt, but would you even consider 2024 in Paris as well?
You know, this pushes you a year closer. So, you know, after the Olympic Games, you know, you take some time off, and then all of a sudden, you know, the Olympics aren't that far away. The Olympic team trials are, what, two and a half years away after that. And, you know, that seems like a blink of an eye. You know, I feel like I've been in it. So, you know, I think a lot of it depends on, you know, where we're at, you know, where I'm at with my family, where I'm at with, you know, my career and, you know, have I accomplished the things I want to accomplish, and do I have more left in the tank, and do I want to do it? You know, that's a big thing. You know, right now I want to do it, and it just comes down to, you know, things change, kind of quickly. You know, a baby will do that to you. You know, it'll make you change your perspective a little bit. So, yeah, we'll see.
Kyle Dake joining us here on BTL, four-time national champ at Cornell, two-time world champ, Lansing native. You're obviously an assistant over at Cornell right now, and I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about Yanni Diakamahalis and Vito Rugia, and both of those guys took Olympic red shirts this season. Here they are, taking a year off to train for the games, but now they're not taking place. So how does this postponement impact them? Is it still too early to tell how that might affect them?
You know, I think it benefits both of those guys. I feel like they're both pretty young, and they're getting better. They're getting better every time they step on the mat. So having an extra year will only benefit them. I feel like they're going to gain more experience and be, you know, have even more time wrestling freestyle. You know, both of those guys, you know, Vito is a two-time finalist, and Yanni's a two-time world champion as in age group, you know, so when they were cadets and juniors, they were able to compete at a very high level, on the world stage. So we know that they're good enough. So the extra time, the extra year, the extra preparation is only going to benefit them. And I think a little bit too, you know, they kind of got lucky. You know, Yanni is a, you know, two for two so far. And had he not redshirted this year, he would be two for three. He would lose a year of eligibility, and he wouldn't have an opportunity to try to make it to four. Now, I know he's not thinking about being a four-time NCAA champion. He's more thinking about, you know, one year at a time. He's thinking, okay, I want to, you know, this year his goal is to be an Olympic champion. Now it's just pushed back. So next year his goal is to be an Olympic champion and a three-time NCAA champion. So, and then Vito is, you know, he's looking to get his first national title. He's looking to get on the Olympic team, and honestly, he's put himself in a really good position to make a serious push at that team. I think both of those guys are going to be right in the mix for making the team and making it to the big dance.
Well, before I let you run, I'm just kind of curious what you have been doing to keep training on the mats. Have you been able to put in any work during this whole quarantine sort of thing that we're dealing with?
You know, I'm not allowed on the mat. You know, Cornell's basically closed.
Yeah.
So the only thing I was able to bring some weights, bring a couple pulley machines to my house, and my, you know, instead of my cars being in the garage, they're sitting in the driveway now, and I have my weight room set up in there. So I do a lot of cross training in there, and you know, running around the house with the dogs, and I do some baby workouts. You know, do some LJO squats and throw her up in the air as high as I can, make her land on the roof, and then jump back down.
That's awesome. Hey, Kyle, this is some crazy stuff going on, man. So stay safe, stay healthy, and looking forward to seeing what hopefully happens for you down the road, assuming all of this clears out. Thanks for a couple of minutes, and be well, okay?
Thank you very much. Good to talk to you.